trouble in Antioch, Paul accused publicly and rebuked a public sin by Peter. And the congregation was in commotion because Peter had said yes to the position of visitors from Jerusalem. And Paul, reminding himself of the words spoken before, had denied this and agreed with God that there must be a no to this. Now let's look at the details invoking the Spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ and see what really this means for us today, this season of Epiphany. Like most church leaders, the Apostle Peter was an outgoing person, certainly a man who wanted to make friends and influence people, whether Jew or Gentile. And his defense of the equality of Gentile and Jewish Christians in the church, together with the reports of Paul and Barnabas regarding their effective evangelistic work, had stirred up the apostolic council of Jerusalem and to action, so that James publicly affirmed the full rights of the Gentiles in the Jewish church. But Antioch seemed to be something different. To acknowledge full equality among Christians in their standing before God, based entirely upon God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and his redeeming work, did not solve lesser problems of the implications for personal conduct. In personal conduct, we do have some choices. If there is no divine prohibition or command regarding an action, we are free to act prudently according to our best judgment. And Ananias and Sapphira were under no compulsion to sell their property and give the proceeds to the church in Jerusalem. They were free to do as they pleased. But when they dissembled about it, Peter said that they had lied not to men, but to God. This is the kind of judgment merited by hypocritical behavior. Peter's conduct in Antioch should be seen in this context. In those days, table fellowship was no mere casual social activity like having lunch today in a cafeteria. It meant nothing less than the public acknowledgement of an intimate relationship. Judas had enjoyed table fellowship with Christ in the upper room, but the Lord also recognized the betrayal of him who has dipped his hand in the dish with me. When Peter ate with the Gentile Christians in Antioch, it was table fellowship among forgiven sinners, and therefore a public witness to their common redemption by Jesus Christ. On previous evidence, we are right in seeing Peter's conduct in Antioch as having much more significance than that of a friendly person who has encouraging words for anyone whom he meets, who always accentuates the positive and is full of possibility thinking. Peter knew what he was doing. He was not a man of unthinking affability. He suffered here from a recurring crisis in his faith, similar to the crisis after he had heard the invitation of the Lord to come to him on the Sea of Galilee. Similar to the crisis of faith in the court of the high priest after his Lord had been taken captive, and there were other crises. But our Lord never abandoned Peter. He restored him again and again by giving Peter the gift of repentance. At the end of the Gospel of John, we read his command to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Peter was given the task of leading the Jewish Christian church after the day of Pentecost, and to provide leadership in the breakout event of the baptism of Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort in Caesarea. Now, Peter's hypocrisy was magnified by the fact that the rest of the Jews in Antioch imitated Peter. In fact, Peter's example was so powerful that even Barnabas, that great man of faith of whom we read in Acts 4, thus Joseph, who was surnamed by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field which belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostle's feet. Again, note the apostle Paul's astonishment in the words of our text. Even Barnabas was carried away by their insincerity. The outrage of the scandal was threatened to become a great doctrinal issue in Antioch. Paul confronted Peter with the same argument and almost the same words which Peter had used a few years before at the Council of Apostolic Council in Jerusalem. He said, "We ourselves know that a man is not justified by faith in the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." The question being, must a man obey the terms of Jewish law and custom or to be a good Christian or not? Peter had said yes, because of his fear of the Jews who were visiting Antioch and would in due time report to James in Jerusalem. He ought to have remembered God's no, which he had heard in his vision while he was meditating on the rooftop in the house of Simon the Tanner in Joppa. He ought to have remembered his own boast about his assignment to the Gentiles. Well, Simon Peter did remember it later on, but not at this moment of his crisis of faith. Now, why should such a trespass by Peter and by his Jewish friends from Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago be of such importance to us in this Epiphany season? Why ought we to look at God's no against Peter's yes in Antioch? Is the ethnic factor important to salvation? Peter made it an issue in Antioch by his conduct. Paul saw in Peter's dissembling a contradiction to the gospel, no different from other assertions of work righteousness. And so it was necessary to deal with such a trespass at once, and Paul did so by reminding Peter of God's no to all forms of work righteousness. This scandal had to be met directly for the sake of truth. Remember that the time of this event was only a few years after Pentecost, when Peter himself in his great sermon had said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to him." Antioch was a city where believers were first called Christians. And they were the people who commissioned Paul and Barnabas to begin their great missionary journey into Asia Minor. Obviously, this great mother church of missions needed to understand the gospel in all its clarity. And clearly the public transgression of Peter could not be passed over in silence. There could be no fraternal cover-up. It was a direct and public denial of the gospel that we are justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Moreover, the missionary command of our Lord would have been nullified for the Christian Antioch had this rebuke not taken place. The Lord had said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you." We must admire the great gift of faith given to Paul. Here, Paul also exhibited one of the great qualities of the servants of Christ. They must be willing to confront their erring brethren with the truth of the gospel.
There will not be many meaningful epiphany in the future. It's a voice of testimony to the gospel, but you heard no more or were to be spoken unfairly. For this reason, I ask you to rise and join with me in the effective prayer according to Galatians sacramentally. Let's pray. O Lord, if you speak to me, to keep thy church and household continually in thy true religion, that they who do believe only upon Amen.